Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Did I say James? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, I don't remember what was going through my mind. It was announced, Joe announced earlier that our brother James Tondo lost his nephew. Please, let's be praying for him. We all know him. He was the one when we were sharing about the rows a few weeks ago. We got up here and was talking about how he had just come from his mother's funeral and talking about he doesn't give, you know, tributes to the dead, just for the living. But he's the one who's lost his nephew. Brother, I had to go out to you. We're praying for you. We wish you was under different circumstances, but we were seeing you this time around. But it's great to have you here. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul writes, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Paul starts off here by saying that, urging the church in Ephesus, and obviously all Christians by extension, that you and I are to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. And this is what I'm going to be talking about, I don't know, for the next 8-9 weeks. Because you and I have been called to a lot. If you really sit down and give it a great deal of thought. It says here that we need to be completely humble. Not just humble, it says completely humble and gentle. It says we need to be patient, bearing with one another in love. Most people who are called by God to do something special had difficult lives. And the same is going to be true of us. And the same is true of us. Some of our brothers and sisters in the first century were killed for their faith. Being called by God is about serving God. We're not called to become famous. We're not called to receive glory. We're not called to get rich. We're called into the kingdom of God to serve God. And again, I don't know how you felt about Sunday. It was awesome just seeing people from all walks of life, from different nations, different colors, different ages. And Steve Galbraith said something to me in his kitchen several weeks ago. And he basically said one of the things he loves about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God has no borders. And that's incredible if you think about it. Because you and I are so programmed to think in terms of lines and divisions. But see, we've been called by God from different walks of life into his kingdom. Being called by God is about laying down our lives for God. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." In other words, few prove that they are the chosen ones by obeying the call of Christ. We are called to live a holy and noble life. You and I are called to make a huge contribution, not only on this earth, but more importantly for eternity. If you think about it, there are some great inventions that you and I now get a chance to enjoy. I mean, light is up here, you know, bright, we can see each other. I mean, you can see the steel beams. A lot of us, we have smartphones, we're using computers. There's so many things that we enjoy in this life. But as awesome as those things are, they're only temporary. They only work for this life. That all those contributions are just for this temporary life. what God has called you and I to is not just for this life, but for the rest of eternity. And that ought to fire you on up. Because we're talking about something much bigger here. God has called us individually to make a difference in this life. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 11. It says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Notice what Paul says here. He says that with this in mind, he's constantly praying that God may count them worthy of his calling. So the question is, who called us into the kingdom? God did. Think about that for a second. God called you individually. God called me individually. It's not by accident that you're sitting here. It's not by accident that your parents gave birth to you. God called you individually. God called you into his kingdom. God has called us to many things. And like I said, I'm going to be talking about this over the next several weeks. He's called us to love. And that's where I'm going to begin tonight. He's called us to serve. We'll talk about that at some point. He's called us to testify. He's called us to worship. He's called us to purity. He's called us to hate the world. He's called us to suffer for his name. He's called us to pray. He's called us to humility. And the list goes on. But over the next several weeks, you know, we'll talk about each and every one of these things, you know, at midweek. But tonight, I want to start off with called to love. And I want to make three quick points. And then I'll sit down and be quiet. I'm sure you know the first one is very obvious. Number one, we've been called to love God. Look in Matthew 22. We've been called to love God. Matthew 22 in verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen. Jesus is basically quoting here Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, where he calls, God back then was calling his children, the nation of Israel, to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is where you and I need to begin every single day. We're called to love God with everything we have. You cannot put your love for God on cruise control. When someone is struggling spiritually, it's because their love for God is out of tilt. And that's where we always need to go back to. You say, well, how do I know that my love for God is growing? Ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing? Do you enjoy being with God? Seriously. There's 24 hours in a day. Do you enjoy being with the Almighty? We're talking going beyond prayer and Bible study, where you spend times just seated there, where you and I are completely still, and you allow the Spirit of God that lives inside of you disciple you and tell you things and teach you. There are times when you got to turn off the telephone and turn the TV off and just go find yourself your own quiet place, your own solitary place, and just listen to the Creator and talk to your Creator. Very, very important. The older we grow as Christians, our love for God needs to continue to grow. I got married 22 years ago. And Sarah is the love of my life. I thought I loved Sarah, honestly, 23 years ago, 24 years ago, when we fell in love. My love for her now does not compare to what it was 22 years ago, let alone last year. But it's something I have to work at every day. It's something that I gotta take care of every day. Because if I try to put this thing in cruise control, we're gonna have problems. Are you with me? Because Jesus, just before he went back to heaven, towards the end of his life, and you know, the apostles were asking him, so what are gonna be the signs for you coming back and all these different things? And he said many, many things. And he says, the love of many will grow cold. I'm not even sure that he was talking so much about man's love for one another. He was talking about man's love for their God. And that's why you and I, we have to be very, very careful that our love never grows cold. Obviously, we love because he first loved us. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. The reason why we're able to love God, because he loved us first. Think about it. Everything you have, God gave to you. Your parents, yes, none of us had perfect parents. And you are not a perfect parent either. We will never be perfect. But God is perfect. And everything we go through in life, everything we've experienced, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that God uses all that for the good of those who love him. Are you with me? But you see, our love for God needs to continue to grow every single day. And so as we begin tonight, talking about worthy of his calling and being called to love God, how's that going in your own life? Do you love God? Are you madly in love with God? Again, this is not rocket science. When you meet a guy in love with someone, you can tell. There's this big smile on his face. Actually, it's more like a grin. And he can't help but talk about the person is in love with. He's always looking for ways to spend time with that person. You know how it is? You spend 3 hours with the person, and then they got to go to work, or they got to go their way, and you're like, oh, I miss you already. Whatever happened to all that? See, what happens is, again, just like in a married relationship, we start taking each other for granted. And unfortunately, we've got to be very careful because sometimes we do that in our relationship with God. We start taking God for granted because he's always there. providing for us, listening to us, putting up with all of our messes. You and I cannot do that to the Almighty. Our love for Him needs to continue to grow. That's what we've been called to. We've been called to love Him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the cool thing is, you can work on that. I can work on that. I can grow in it. You can grow in it. Amen? Because love is supposed to increase. Love is the most excellent way. We love Him because He first loved us. If you think about it, brothers and sisters, we're truly blessed. We are living incredible lives. Think about where your life would be without God. Honestly. Joe and Lisa, could you guys stand up for just a second? Is Joe and Lisa Washington? You can turn around. I want you to imagine what Lisa's life would be like without Joe. And I want you to think of what Joe's life would be like without Lisa in it. Who made this happen? God did. God did. You guys can go ahead and sit down. If I was not a Christian, no woman will put up with my foolishness. I can tell you that right now. Because I was self-centered, proud, and arrogant. That's the truth. I think sometimes I think you guys see me and say, oh yeah, I know Richard. No, you don't know Richard. If you only knew the kind of person I used to be. If you only knew the kind of person I was without the Holy Spirit and without the grace of God. He was horrible. It wasn't good. I'll probably be on my third marriage or probably not even be married. I probably have, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 different kids, you know, all over the place. I'm sure they won't like me and I won't like them. Because my attitude before I became a Christian was, forget you. But you see, when you think about not only the spouses that God has blessed us with, but even the children that God has blessed us with. Think about the kind of stuff that your kids would be getting into if you were not a Christian. They'll probably be doing drugs. If you have a son, you're probably out there getting girls pregnant. If you had a girl, she probably had 2 or 3 kids out of wedlock by now. Why am I saying all these things? That's the world without the love of God. Without the love of God and the grace of God that is poured out into our lives. And so, yes, life is tough as a Christian. All I'm saying is, even in all that, we need to have some perspective. That it's not as bad as you think it is. I will not trade places with any of my friends that I grew up with or I went to school with. I would not do it. Yes, they have a whole ton of money more than I do, but I don't want their lives. I've seen it and I don't want it. I'm not attracted to it, not for 1 second. But you see, it's because we've been called to love God. And it is that love, when we think about all the things that God has done for us, that now motivates us to want to talk to other people about this God. And really, if you think about it, that's all sharing your faith is. That's all it is. That let me tell you what my life would be like without the Almighty. Let me tell you what my family would be like without God in it. And when people see that, wow, this is working for you, it gives them hope that, you know what, perhaps this same God will work for them. And I always tell people to give God a try. And they will not be disappointed. Are you with me? So the first thing we've been called to do is to love God. Number two, we've been called to love each other. Look in John chapter 13. We've been called to love others. John chapter 13. Again, you know the passage I'm referring to. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Notice, it doesn't say try to love one another. It says love one another. End of discussion. It's not open for debate. God calls us to love one another. This is the second half of the greatest commandment. Is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We don't have a choice in the matter. And then it goes on to tell us that this is how the world will know that we're his disciples. If we love one another. Again, it's awesome being a Christian. It really is. I'm amazed by the love of Christians for one another. And for me. And for you. I really am. I mean, this time last week I was sick in bed. Sick as a dog in bed. And this sister came over. Actually, she called looking for my wife. And then, I picked up the phone. My voice was horrible. And on her own, she went out, got water. She got some fruit. And she brought it to the house. When she even brought it, I was asleep. I didn't even see it. She didn't have to do any of that. Sarah came to church Thursday night. Came back and said, "Oh, this is for you." It's like, wow, thank you. Nobody asked her to do that. Does that make sense? And I know we do that for each other. Why? Because God commands us to do it. That we're not just, people that quote unquote go to the same church and we sit next to each other in the pews. That we really love each other. And believe it or not, when people walk into this church, they notice it. They can tell. That we're not playing church. That we're involved in each other's lives. That we actually love one another. Now notice, again, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. He doesn't say to love because we're perfect. Far from it. Who is he asking us to love? He's asking us to love sinners. If God can love us as sinners, surely you and I can love other sinners. Because sometimes we think, well, you don't know what she did, or you don't know what he did to me, or didn't do. It's like, stop it. You and I sin against God every single day. And he does not he does not treat us like our sins deserve. And we got to do the same thing for other human beings. Because one day, you're going to need somebody's forgiveness. One day, I'm going to be the one messing up. One day, you're going to be the one messing up. And you're going to need somebody to love you in spite of what you've done or not done. In Romans chapter 12, let's go ahead and turn there. Again, another passage I know we know. But look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, love must be sincere. Why would he say it like that? Because it is possible for my love to be insincere. Where I do something, but it's not coming from my heart. I'm doing something out of duty, as opposed to from deep inside of me. Are you with me? But it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans chapter 13, the next chapter, in verse 8. Romans chapter 13. See, again, I'm looking at chapter 14, okay. Romans chapter 13, I'm getting old, people. It's all right. Romans chapter 13 in verse 8 says, let no debt remain outstanding, except what? The continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Amen? It says, you and I have a continuing debt. This is one debt you and I can never pay off. There's nothing like being out of debt. Okay? I know many of us have taken financial peace and in that position and all that. God bless you. But this is one debt you and I will continue to have every day. And that is the debt to continue to love other people. Amen? That it's always, how can I love other people? What can I do for other people? And if you think about it, those are the happiest people that I know. Are people that are always giving of themselves. People that are constantly loving other people. You see, for me, mature Christianity is not so much, you know, who's going to meet my needs? What is the church doing to meet my needs? As opposed to, what am I going to do to meet the needs of other people? Are you with me? I've seen mature Christians go, well, you know, I don't know if my needs have been met. Excuse me? You can't be serious. You see, it's about meeting the needs of other people. It's baby Christians. They're like, well, who's going to meet my needs? Those are the people that act like that, are babies in the faith. Not mature Christians. Amen? It's about meeting the needs of other people. It's about loving other people. Look in Proverbs chapter 17. Now, because again, you and I have been called to go love sinners. And like I've always said, where you have a bunch of sinners, there's going to be some sin. Okay? This is not rocket science. But in Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17, Proverbs 17 in verse 19. It says, I wrote down the wrong reference again. Okay, this one says, he who loves a quarrel loves sin. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm sorry? 17? No, I'm looking for the passage that talks about he who overlooks an insult promotes love. I put down the wrong reference. I'm sorry? Okay, sorry, it's verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Again, the idea here is, you know what? You got to look the other way sometimes. You got to learn to pick your battles. Everything cannot be an issue. Husband and wives know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, if you choose as a spouse to complain about everything your husband or wife does wrong, your house is going to be a very miserable place. There's some things you just got to say, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about that. You got to pick your battles. Okay? Bible says if you cover over an offense, you're promoting love. Okay? Very, very important. Again, let's be honest. It's hard to love sinners. But now, maybe now you're beginning to get an idea of how God feels. I mean, think about what God has to deal with on a daily basis. Over 7 billion and counting. See, when you and I are able to love other people despite their faults, despite their shortcomings, that's one of the moments we are most like God. And finally, number three, we've been called to love our enemies. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's in the Bible, though. I know we don't talk about this very often, but it's in there. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is one of the hardest scriptures in the entire Bible. You know, you kind of read it like, nah, he didn't really mean that. Yes, he did. He meant it. He not only meant it, he modeled it for us. It says, love your enemies. I want you to think about Jesus going around Palestine and around Galilee and Jerusalem preaching the good news. Obviously, in the scriptures, we have a few accounts of many people opposing him, saying all kinds of things about him, questioning his motives, questioning who he was. I want you to imagine every single occurrence in the scriptures if God had reacted and given those people what they deserved. And not once do you see him lashing back. Not once do you see him destroying them right there. Again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am so thankful I am not God, I'm not Jesus. Because man, some of these people, you say stuff against me, man, I'm the son of God, I'm gonna make you disappear right there. That's all I'm going to say. But you see, some of the stuff Jesus had to go through, he was loving his enemies. And he's now telling us to do likewise. And so, he not only says love them, but he says pray for them. And so let me ask you, when was the last time you were praying for your enemies? I encourage you to do it tonight before you go to sleep. You say, "Richard, I got no enemies." You're a liar. Not everybody likes you. Not everybody likes me. There are people I know that can't stand my guts. Those are the kind of people God tells me to pray for. Are you with me? There are people in your office who don't like you. They're talking behind your back and you know it. God says, pray for them. God says, love them. Treat them like you would treat righteous people and disciples. So that's what God does. God allows the sun to shine on both the righteous and on the unrighteous. God brings rain over the righteous and the unrighteous. It can be, okay, here it is. Maybe, again, I'm making this up. Maybe in your office, when somebody has a birthday, you're the person that really gets a small cupcake and you put one candle on it and you make them feel special. And then you got this person who's talking behind your back, who's actually got you in trouble. Do you do the same thing for that person? Or do you treat them different? Or do you bring them their cupcake and say, happy birthday? The Bible tells me that when you do stuff like that, in so doing, you're heaping burning coals upon their head. And believe it or not, it is by loving our enemies, that's what softens their hearts towards God and towards you. Amen? And so this person, you know, doesn't like you and said stuff, maybe they've yelled at you or whatever, you know, in the office or in your neighborhood or something. I don't know. You know your own story. And then you hear they've lost a loved one. Go by. Go pay your condolences. Tell them your heart goes out to them. Take something over. That's loving your enemy. Because when you leave, when I leave, they're going, wait a second, that was the last person I was expecting to come talk to me or to come over here. And it does something to them. Are you with me? And that's why God tells us to love our enemies. That word in the Greek is ekthros. It's spelled E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. We're talking about someone who hates you. We're talking about a hostile person. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, love them. Church, I'm not saying this is easy. But this is part of what we've been called to do. Are you with me? I mean, I was talking to a brother this morning. Not in our church. In another city. And something had happened and, you know, I was upset about it. And so actually I called yesterday. And I said, hey, we need to talk. And he called late, but I was asleep at the time. So first thing this morning, he called me back. He says, what's up? So I told him how I was feeling. And he helped me out. He goes, uh-uh. That's not the case. And I said, okay, I hear you. I thought wrong of that person. I got to let it go. That wasn't the case. Oh yeah, on this, you're spot on. But still, you cannot be upset about it. That's just life. Because I know for me, in my own sinful nature, when I'm upset with somebody, I pull away. That's what I do. I don't know what you do. That's my coping mechanism. Again, that's the quote-unquote, the non-Christian enemy coming out. That's what I used to do a lot. You know, forget you, man. I'm just going to keep my distance. You having a party? I'm not coming. You having a meeting? I'm not coming. Just leave me alone. Mind your business. Let me mind my own. But it's not godly. It says for me to love my enemies. Again, this is something that I believe as Christians, we not only need to be we need to be praying for our enemies, but we need to be praying for God to soften our hearts and to teach us to love our enemies. Because I think it's something that we all need to learn and continue to grow in. I don't think I'm the only exception in the room. I'm just saying. Are you with me? And so, God has called us to a lot of things. Again, I encourage you to, I mean, there's so many scriptures that talk about love. But I've just brought up three basic points tonight that the Bible calls us to love God, to love other people, and to love our enemies. The Bible calls us to love our wives. I've always wondered, why did he say that? Husbands, love your wives. Because God knows if he doesn't tell me, I'm not going to do it. Hello. I mean, that dawned on me the other day. Oh, okay, I get what he's saying now. Now, amen. As husbands and as spouses, we keep loving our spouses. Amen. Amen. The Bible also tells the wives to love their husband. Amen. It's a two-way street. But you see, it's a good thing that our love for each other continues to grow. And so, like I said, over the next several weeks, I'll be talking to us about all these different areas where we've been called to serve, we've been called to testify, we've been called to worship, we've been called to purity, we've been called to hate the world, we've been called to suffer for his name. Oh, that's going to be very interesting. We've been called to pray, and we've been called to humility. Okay? And so, again, all I can do for a few minutes is to kind of spur you on. I encourage you to go study these things out in your own personal time with the Almighty. Okay? And I promise you, you and I will live a life worthy of the calling in which he has called us. Amen? Okay. God bless.